We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the live BP baseball show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradfo and Peralt on EEI.
We're back. We're back. Bring baseball back 2 hours at a time. Steve Peralt, Rob Bradford. Back for live BP.
Love the intro.
Oh, my goodness. So much happens every single week. And you know the great thing is? The great thing is, much like the leadoff hitter has been valued more than ever, ever before in baseball, Mookie Betts, I don't know if you knew this, was a pretty solid, good leadoff hitter.
Yeah, he was good here.
We are also approaching this show the exact same way. So right first pitch, boom, here we go. Right out of the gate, we got our guest. Our guest is on the Harbor One Heartline, Dayton Moore, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. Dayton, Rob Bradford, Steve Peralt, thanks for calling. So much. I know you're a busy man. Hope everything's well. How's it going, Dayton?
Good, guys. What's going on?
Not much. I mean, slow week, you know, and I know it's been a slow week for you as well, but there was one thing that cropped up, and obviously that was the Andrew Benintendi trade. I just wanted to see from your perspective, if you could take us through how that came about. I know that these things don't happen overnight. How did it come about in terms of targeting Benintendi all the way to the time where you actually made the deal?
Well, good to be with you, Brad, as always. And, you know, it's just kind of a interesting process, and I think a lot of the deals that end up happening usually are in the works for a while. Somebody plants the seed, and you begin to discuss things internally, and everybody's trying to figure out how to make things work. But you know, we'd really been in the market for a left-hand hitting outfielder, and somebody that would hopefully, you know, fit at the top of our lineup. You know, we felt like we had some middle of the order bats, and so, you know, obviously we liked Andrew for a long time, scouted him out of college. And of course, he was a top pick and moved really, really quick through the minor leagues, as everybody knows, and broke into the major leagues, had a lot of success. And certainly you guys had seen that. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the last part of 19 and, you know, in 20 as well with the shortened season, you know, he had, you know, had some struggles, and that's usually, you know, when you kind of get guys, truthfully. And so anyway, we're just glad to make it work. And, you know, when you look at what he brings to our team in the context of what we already have, it's a really good fit for us. And we were just glad to be able to execute the deal.
So when you look at the last couple of years, obviously Benny was underperforming here. Injuries do factor into it. How much do you factor that in when you're making a deal for a player that was, you know, previous seventh overall pick in the draft, got to the bigs within one season, 1 year? How much do you factor in the recent performance? And I don't want to say overlook it and hope you get 2018 again, but how much does that factor into this trade?
Well, it's a great question, and it's obviously the mystery, right? And you watch a lot of video, you talk to a lot of people. What I've always found out, when players aren't performing at their accustomed level, you know, you wonder about the health of the player. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, whatever, you know, you guys get a little comfortable too. And especially when you had a lot of success early, I've seen it with a lot of players that, you know, it's the game is really, really hard. It's challenging. But as long as a player is healthy and they're in the right frame of mind, they're still very young. I mean, Andrew's entering really the prime years of his career, and you can't have the success that he's had and enjoyed at the major league level unless you're really talented. I mean, it just doesn't happen. You don't luck in to those types of years and consistency in which he broke into the major leagues in the first few years of his career. And so, you know, we're gonna trust the player that he's hungry, that he's motivated to get back to his accustomed level. But again, when you look at him in the context of our team, with Whit Merrifield and him and Alberto Mondesi kind of at the top of our lineup, and then followed by Carlos Santana and Salvador Perez and Jorge Soler and Hunter Dozier, you know, it's he fits well. And you know, his selection is that's not going to change. I mean, he works a count. He's not afraid to hit deep in the count. Kauffman Stadium is a very different venue. It's a big ballpark, and you know, his swing, as we all know, naturally plays to the middle of the field. And just get back to that approach, wear out the gaps, hit a lot of doubles and triples. Don't worry about hitting home runs. I mean, because that's not going to happen at Kauffman Stadium anyway. So just stay in the middle of the field and just become get back to the player you once were.
Dayton Moore, general manager of the Kansas City Royals, joins Live BP. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt. And Dayton, were you surprised that his name came up? Obviously, you talk about a lot of players and everyone. The offseason is all over the place. You've gone through a lot of them. Were you surprised when you did engage in conversations with Heim that his name had come up? And what was it like dealing with Heim?
Well, you know, actually Scott Sharp and Brian were doing most of the discussing, you know, during that period of time, and both of them really got in a rhythm. And so I stayed out of it. I mean, I dealt with Scott, you know, back and forth, Scott Sharp, who's, you know, VP, assistant GM of baseball operations for us. And, you know, I know he was dealing with Brian O'Halloran as well. And again, they were in a really good rhythm and discussing things. And I know there was other things involved and other teams involved as well. And so, you know, we just kind of left it alone and let them, you know, kind of, you know, execute and work the deal. And so, but no, I mean, you know, you're never really surprised. I mean, most teams are willing to talk about players. It's just a matter of, you know, what will they get in return? And, you know, again, we felt like that, you know, we paid a heavy price to get Andrew. I mean, we really do. And that wasn't easy for us to, you know, to get comfortable with. But at the end of the day, you know, we looked at where we are, what we're trying to do. You know, Mike Matheny was really, really pushing for Andrew as well. I mean, he wanted this player in a very passionate way. And, you know, I've always tried to get players that the manager and the coaching staff believe in.
So with that trade, obviously you send Franchy Cordero, other pieces involved in the deal, but specifically with Franchy, what do you see, what have you seen in his brief time in Kansas City that might have led you to not want to trade him away? What was probably the best part of his game in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've been a big admirer of his for a long time. We've tried to trade for him multiple times in the past. I believe in his talent. He has tremendous makeup. He's a wonderful human being. I've actually spent a little time with him in the Dominican Republic, getting to know him a lot better. He's, you know, power, speed. I mean, it's all there in him. And really, I mean, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Some of it is just kind of freakish. Some of the injuries, but you know, once he puts it together, I mean, this guy's a very powerful human being who can do a lot of things to help a baseball team win, and he just needs to get the right opportunity.
You know, along those lines, and we've talked about this before, Dayton. You obviously worked in Atlanta with John Schuchholz, and he made some of the best trades that you'll ever see. And we talked earlier, I think it was during the pandemic, about when you make a trade, how you can't worry too much about what you're giving up. You have to focus on really what you need.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, and so in this case, when you make this deal, I'm just, from your perspective, like you just talked about Franchi, like how much you were looking forward to seeing him play. What's your vibe? What do you feel after you make this deal? Are you just like, hey, man, that was tough giving up Franchi, but I am just all in on Andrew?
Yeah, I think that's the way you look at it, Rob, because if you focus on what you're giving up, you'll probably never, ever make a deal. And I just kept, focusing on what Andrew would mean in our lineup and in our ballpark and the type of player that we need. I know he loves hitting at Kauffman Stadium. Mike Matheny, as I said, just kept, pushing me to try to execute this deal. And obviously as a general manager, you've got to filter through some of that at some point in time, because, things can get emotional and you have to look at things in a very logical way that fits. But we traded, two players that would have given us a lot of control, and Franchi Cordero and Khalil Lee. It was difficult, but at the same time, again, we just felt that Andrew would mean so much to this team. And you got to look where we are as well. I mean, Jorge Soler is going to be a free agent. Salvador Perez is going to be a free agent potentially after this year. Whit Merrifield, we have 2 years left. I mean, so we're at a time where we need to start winning more games. And you can say, well, looking at the Royals on paper and what they've done the last couple of years, they're not ready to win, so they shouldn't, go all in. But you know what? We've tried to go all in every single year. We've tried to put the best team we can on the field each and every year with the resources that we have. And fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, in our market, with a payroll that is not supposed to exceed $85 million, we have to use our farm system to bring back players that are at different stages of their career where we think that they can really produce and help us. And so in looking at, Andrew, we just felt that it made the right sense for us to try to execute a deal like this based on where we are and what we're trying to accomplish.
Dayton, last one for me is, you talked before with Steve about Franchi, and I would just ask you this. What is the one thing you think that is going to be able to, part of his game that is going to be able to make him the everyday player that a lot of people think he's going to become?
Just staying healthy. I mean, this guy stays healthy. He's going to do really, really well. And I mean, he'll do some things on the field that are going to, wow you. But he's going to need some time for some consistency as well, because he hadn't had a chance to play a ton over the last couple of years. But he stays healthy and gets a chance to go out and play every day. He's going to do really, really well. And I suspect, everybody's going to be really, really happy that he's a part of the Boston Red Sox.
Well, Dayton, always a pleasure to talk to you. One of the best in the business, and it gives us an excuse to talk once again. So I appreciate your time, and good luck in this spring training. Good luck in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you having me on, and let me know if you need anything.
All right. Dayton Moore, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. This is Live BP. Once again, Steve Perrault, Rob Bradford. Hey, listen, let's just jump to it, right?
Yeah.
Let's just jump right to it.
I do agree with the leadoff aspect. Just bang, just guessed right off the top.
Yeah.
And a guy that had a lot to do with the trade that just went down that everyone was talking about. I always want to say Franchi and not Franchi. I think I'm just going to call him Franchi.
It's hard. It's a tough one.
Franchi sounds like you're saying it wrong.
Well, I mean, you obviously want to jump to Franchi, and then you want to jump to Willie Moe.
Yeah.
And then
I'm just Franchi C. I'm just going to go with that. But no, I liked his answers. I mean,
So I love this. This is one of my favorite things. And 617-779-7937. We got a big, big show. That was just the beginning of it. We're going to be with you till 6 o'clock. We got a special guest at 5, which Steve Perrault's going to explain to you. But join the conversation, because there's a lot to talk about. including headline by the Andrew Benintendi trade. But one of the things I love about this show, this is our fourth week doing this?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, I love the Steve Perrault breakdown of things.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know this about you, but you're very good at breaking down things.
I appreciate it. Just like you, I'll take any compliments. Whenever you want to send them over, I will take them. I know when you hear insults, all you hear is the one compliment in that line. I loved what he had to say about Franchi, specifically that it's not even like a restriction of talent. It's if he can just stay healthy. If he can stay on the field, stay healthy, this is a guy that can be an everyday player for the Red Sox. Because in all honesty, after this trade happened, it's been a lot, at least for me, it's been a lot of convincing myself that this makes sense. Because I think Benny's got a good amount left in him. That's probably my biggest concern with the deal.
I think that, and I may have told someone in the Kansas City front office this, but I think that he's going to, there's a very good chance that he makes the All-Star team this year.
Oh, geez, that's a jump. I don't know.
It is a jump. It is a jump. But, you know, here's another interesting thing about what Dayton saw. That was Dayton Moore of Kansas City Royals general manager who just joined us. One of the other things that interesting that he said was, you know, that this was Mike Matheny. Well, he kept saying this a couple times. Mike Matheny really, really pushes for this guy. And one of the things that people don't understand, Mike Matheny's son, Tate Matheny, was really tight with Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah.
Every time that in spring training when those guys were younger, just after they were drafted, I think they were drafted the same year, they would be walking out of JetBlue Park complex together all the time. So they're tight. So it's not like Mike Matheny saying, oh, I think I like this guy. I watched him on TV. Like, he really, really likes this guy. So, and another interesting thing about it was, I think, something along the lines of what you were talking about, which is how much the injuries, like how much do you look at, whether you want to look at 2019 or more importantly, 2020? Because this was a big conversation to Benintendi, where you have 2020, and I've said this all along, Steve, if you look at 2020 with Benintendi, if you stopped right at the end of the exhibition season, second spring training, the inter-squad games with Toronto, he's one of the best players on the team.
Yeah.
He was really good in spring training 1.0. He was really good at all the intra-squad stuff. He was good against the Blue Jays. And then when the season began, he was really bad for 14 games. 14 games.
You don't want to jump too much on the 2020 season. I understand what he had, the ribs issue or whatever the injury was, rounding second base. But I don't know. I mean, it's. I just can't believe we're at this point right now. I am stunned after they draft him 7th overall in 2015. He gets to the majors a year later. He hit a homer in that ALDS against the Indians. And we're like, this kid's going to be special. And
well, he had that, you know, the homer I remember was bringing Verlander out in relief.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
here
bomb off Verlander.
Here comes,
yeah, that's
here
right,
comes
the next
Verlander.
Year.
You bring him in relief. Everyone's like, what are you doing? That's a stupid move.
Terrible.
But anyway.
Benny turns on
but
one.
But he turns on
well,
one.
But that's what he was best at, too. The issue for me, and, you know, apparently, and this is, I've only seen Benny talk about this briefly. Not a very talkative guy, by the way. My goodness, he is very quiet. But Benny was saying that the cause or one of the main causes of his struggles was that he tried to bulk up and he tried to have more of an uppercut of a swing to have more power to hit more home runs, with the obviously down the line hope being that makes him more money, that he lives longer in the majors.
Well, he wasn't alone in that.
No, I know.
And
I think a lot of the league is kind of becoming that, which I sort of hate because now it's just boom or bust. But I have an issue with that being the reason why he's hitting 103. You know, when he
this
before
past
he get,
year?
Yeah, this past
no, this,
year.
This past year was, like, bizarre.
It made no sense.
Legit bizarre. And I remember talking to Tim Hyers, a hitting coach, and you watched him. He was doing – what was weird, Steve, is that he wasn't only getting out. He wasn't only striking out. I think he struck out, like, 14 times in 37 at-bats or something like that. But he would go to one knee on – every single
he was basically a guaranteed swing. Out. Like when he came up, it was the equivalent of a pitcher coming up, you know, for the Red Sox. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just stunned that we've gotten to this point. There was so much hype. I remember we did bold predictions on the podcast heading into 2018. And I was saying, oh, Benny might get some MVP votes. And that wasn't a crazy thing to say. That was 3 years ago. And now he's traded. And in all honesty, the people that seem to be most upset are the female Red Sox fans that are upset that Andrew Benintendi's gone.
The hair is
He's
gone.
A good-looking dude. And when he had the flow, even better.
Super.
But still,
you got Franchi. Franchi's back.
I know, and I'm going to mess that name up every time.
Franchi.
I literally, like, I spelled it out, like, how you should sound it out in the notes. I'm like, I'm not going to mess it up with the GM of the Royals. But, yeah, it's crazy to me that we've gotten to this point. Chaim Bloom very clearly has no – and I love this, that he has no connection to that 2018 team. He does not care that Benny made, you know, probably the best catch in Red Sox history.
I saw somebody, was it Chet Finn? Somebody wrote, like, how are we supposed to, I'm sorry, I didn't read it, but I saw the headline.
I saw the headline, too.
And it was like, how are we supposed to embrace guys if they don't
when they're not
going to
be here a long time?
Like, okay, and I apologize, I didn't read it. I saw the headline.
Take it back. Based solely off the headline, I'm fine with it.
But that premise is so utterly ridiculous. I'm not saying the story's ridiculous because I didn't
terrible.
Read it.
The story's terrible. I didn't read it. I hated it.
But, like, how can you think that way? Like, how can you? This has to be a complete turnover. And I understand people are going to be upset. You have every right to be upset that Mookie Betts is gone. You could have basically, if you could have had Mookie Betts and found a way to get rid of Eovaldi and JD Martinez, to free up the money to keep Mookie Betts, you have a completely different image and a different conversation with this team right now. But what's done is done. Everything else, you had to give this whole team and organization an enema. You just had to do it. So I have no problem with that. Also, Steve, another part of this, how are people not piecing this together? 2022, opt-outs, free agency. Yeah. For guys, Evaldi's up, J.D. Martinez up, opt-outs for Xander opt-outs for Sale. Benintendi would have been a free agent. Vasquez is going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
You had to turn things over by the time that came around, and this is how you do that.
Very clearly, Chaim Bloom and company were not high on Andrew Benintendi. They are placing a bet right now, publicly, that his best days are behind him, which is kind of a risky move, right? This dude's 26 years old. It stunned me when I found out they're the same age. Because it's kind of like the Gronk-Kelsey thing where you're like, geez, that's kind of nuts.
That makes everyone a little uneasy, doesn't it?
It does, where it's like, wait a second, Andrew Benintendi's 26 years old, and he was the seventh pick in the draft, and we're just kind of sending him to KC for a couple, couple prospects. I mean, that, you know.
Listen.
Franchi, whatever amount he's played in the pros, he's basically a prospect because we, you know, in theory, haven't seen the best of him and haven't seen him reach his potential. Chaim loves those guys. He also loves guys he has control over. Which makes sense. You now have how many years? So it's what, two? How many for Franchi? It's like two on top of this?
He's got 3 years of
okay, so two. Yeah. Okay, so
yeah, three more years.
They have 3 years of control for him.
Yeah.
Same thing with Verdugo coming back with Betts.
And you have not mentioned the name Josh Winkowski once.
No,
in the show.
Well, he hasn't gotten past Class A, right?
But, I'm not going to act like. But he's invited to Major League Spring Training.
And you got to talk to him, right?
I talked to him. That story is dropping tomorrow.
Base, all right. When you talk to him, tell me right now. Is he going to be good or not, based solely off of your conversation?
Yes, you know, and so as you came in, I was just transcribing the interview. He said, I said, you know, he's like, his velo has gone up. I said, how does he velo? He's like, well, I kept watching guys and said, that'd be pretty cool to throw that hard. Like, he literally said that. Like, so I did.
Imagine if that's all you had to do. It's like, I want to throw harder, so I'm going to throw harder.
And thus it was said, and thus it was born.
Yeah.
So that story, the Josh Winkowski story, is very, very good and fascinating. That'll be dropping on
WEI.com
tomorrow morning. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Steve Peralt, Live BP. Like we said, we're pouring one out for Andy Benintendi.
Andy, oh, God, can't do Andy. I remember my parents were going to name me Andrew. My middle name's Andrew. They were going to name me Andrew, but then stopped last second because they didn't want me to be Andy, which I get. Andy's a rough name. The only Andy I like is the Toy Story Andy. That's it. Anyone else thinks.
Do you think that Benintendi was ever called Andy? No one ever called
him
Andy.
I hope not. No, he looks like a Drew.
Drew?
Yeah. Between the two, he's not an Andy. He's a Drew.
I guess. But, you know, let's pour one out. You got a boom sauce there for
No. Oh, my God. I love boom sauce so much. I've never had it, but I just love the concept.
All right. Well, we're pouring a boom sauce out for Andy Benintendi today. In the meantime, we're going to go to the calls before we have to go to a break. And our guy, Jeff in Watertown, the guy who called me the Lin-Manuel Miranda of Sports Talk, which made my whole week, Jeff. Thank you very much.
I'm sticking to it.
Believe me, I'm not letting you get off of it. So there you go. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing good. You know, I am one of those people that, first of all, as a longtime Red Sox fan, we got to see one of the greatest outfields, defensive outfields that ever existed. So the fact that we won a World Series, the fact that, you know, that I got to see Benintendi and Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. play together and win a World Series, like it doesn't hurt that much. You know what Andrew Benintendi goes. I mean, he was one of those guys that I followed, I was rooting for. And, you know, I don't mind one spring training when a guy comes in and says, you know, I have to rethink things and I over the off. And then another spring training comes in and is like, well, I overstarted it again, but now I really, you know, by the third time I'm ready to like say, okay, maybe it's time to go someplace else. And I do think that Dave Moore's point about the ballpark, you know, if he could just, shoot for the gaps and, you know, not worry about maybe home runs and use some of that athleticism, you know, maybe it'll work for him, but you know, it's not like the old days when you had these prospects and you were so high on them and then nothing happened and you traded them and they went somewhere else and they were great. You know, this is different. Like you said, 2022 is what we're looking at. If you can get a potential player to replace him that's going to be in control for a couple more years, I just think it makes perfect sense. And, you know, the whole world changes when you win World Series. It's just different. Even Mookie Betts, I didn't feel the same way. I didn't think he wanted to be here. I didn't think this was this kind of environment. But he, you know, we got to see him play. He won us a World Series. I feel like that's a good investment. So I'm okay with it.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the call. You know, it's obviously, you know, for a lot of people, they say, oh, how could you do this? How could you move on? Like, what are you doing? You're getting rid of all the memories, and this guy still has potential. I don't know about you, Steve, but going in this offseason, when we talk about Benintendi, I was like, they aren't going to be able to trade him. Like,
it would have been the lowest value he's ever
right.
had.
Right, so I'm looking at it as he's worth more to you than he is in a trade.
Absolutely.
And I think, honestly, that's how the Red Sox were going to it. You remember, the rumors really started going in early to mid-January. And then for a month, you went by. And from what I heard, it was just like they were talking to the Royals. They were talking to the Marlins. They were talking to these other teams. Hey, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, we have Andrew Benintendi.
There was no chance in my mind that I thought they were going to trade Benny this offseason. It just at face value seemed to make no sense that you would deal a guy that just got hurt after hitting 103 and just looking terrible. His body language was awful. Yes. Like, he couldn't have looked worse out there. A guy that probably, you know, definitely swears more than anyone on the team, which is really surprising considering he's very like mild-mannered. So I'm kind of stunned that it happened. I'm not very upset with what they got back. Jeff brings up a good point, honestly, that isn't the point to win the World Series. The point is to try to win the grand prize, the piece of metal, if you will. And if you can get there and you can do it and you can accomplish that, then leave those memories there. You have that moment. It doesn't mean you have to then keep winning titles with these players, because that there's no guarantee. There's zero guarantees with specifically baseball in terms of other sports. You get in the playoffs, you might have the best team ever and get swept in the first round. I have no issue with Benny being traded. I'm just very surprised that happened coming off the season. And then, you know, the end of 2019 was terrible too. So coming off of the situation they were in, I'm stunned that they made the deal, but I'm not that upset with what they got back.
All right, before the break, let's go to Tim in New Hampshire. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, thanks for having me. So, yeah, the thing that really surprised me is how everyone's talking about how he's 26 and he's at, like, the top of his game, and we've seen what we're going to get out of Benintendi. This isn't football. Like, you don't hit your prime at 24 or 25. Like, a baseball player's prime is 30 years old. He had one bad year. It was the COVID year. He hit, like, .130, right? But outside of that, the guy's a .270 hitter, is going to get 20 to 40 doubles a year, plays pretty good defense. Like, I know we have, like, a lot of things to say about how we're down on him, but it's crazy the fact that we're giving up on a guy that showed so much promise, and we're going to resort to, oh, what did he do in the COVID year when he played, like, 20
games?
Yeah,
Tim, you're right. Anybody who's basing any decision on that is wrong. The Royals shouldn't have based their decision on it. The Red Sox shouldn't have based their decision on it. No, this has to be about 2019, what adjustments you think he's going to make, and what you're projecting, not only him, but the guy you're getting back. Let's be honest, Tim. I mean, if you think that Franchi Cordero
is getting nobody back, right?
Well, no,
nah, so that's aggressive.
They're both 26 years old. Benintendi's been good enough to be a starter in the major leagues, and he's the same age as this guy that's almost played nothing in the major leagues. So we get a guy that's the same age that shows a bunch of promise versus a guy that's proven he can actually play in
that
the
they have
league.
More control over, and then they're getting more players as well. I don't think it's a – you're acting like this is a one-for-one trade.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
It's not. But, no, I mean, it's a fair point, and Haim's going to have to live with that. If Benny goes to Kansas City, I think what you're saying is a little aggressive. I don't think he's making the All-Star team this year. And I wrote it down, by the way.
Please. There's a chalkboard over there.
I wrote it down, but they're going to have to live with that. If Benny goes to Kansas City, and you know he's pissed right now, he had the specific line of saying, I'm glad I'm somewhere I'm wanted.
Yeah.
But sorry, Andy. If you hit 103 and you're trash at the end of 2019, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're not quote-unquote wanted. I don't know. I saw that and I was like, I get it. I think he's a nice guy. He's a nice boy. But don't then come at us with like the, oh, I wasn't wanted here. You have to perform to play for the Red Sox.
I'm going to tell you after the spring, I'm going to tell you something that you did not know about Andy Benintendi.
Andy.
That had to do with his marketing, the marketing of Andy Benintendi.
I'm excited for this.
I don't think you know this.
I probably don't. No, I might.
All right. We'll get to it after the break. 617-779-7937. Steve, who do we have coming up at 5 o'clock?
We have somebody that I'm extremely excited about. I'm going to keep it as a tease, but he's somebody that you're going to listen to the interview and be like, wow, I need to get into this.
Like when you're saying, you're actually talking to me. Like
you and the listeners. I'm telling you, I heard this guy on a podcast one time, and I knew he's incredible at what he does.
I'm looking forward to it. That's at top of the hour, 617-779-7937. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Steve Peralt. Here's what's trending.
For nearly 30 years.
I love WEEI. Sports Radio.
WEEI. Boston Sports Station. WEEI. Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's the aforementioned trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Bruins won, right, Bridget?
That was a great game.
Old-time hockey. Best team in Boston, not even close.
And one of my favorite games of the year.
Not even close. What was the score?
The final score?
No, the score at second intermission.
It was a 1-0 game, but three fights. Well, 2.5 fights.
All right, that's right. The scoreboard in terms of fights. So the Bruins roll. When do they play next? Do we know? Who knows? But whenever they play, the entire city of Boston is going to be excited because they are the best team in Boston. You know who's not the best team in Boston? The Celtics. The Celtics lost again to the Detroit Pistons. Sad, sad time. Semi Ojeleye, who was just coming off a huge performance, injured his knee, so he left. Marcus Smart still out. Kemba Walker did not play, so there's that, but they got some fixing to do. Red Sox, Martin Perez went official yesterday. Steve Peralt's guy, Martin Perez. Martin Perez is in the fold. And Dayton Moore, Kansas City Royals general manager, just joined Live BP Baseball Show to tell us all about Franchy Cordero, the guy they got from the Royals, Red Sox got from the Royals, and his thinking behind trading for Andrew Benintendi. You can get that on WEI.com later. But until then, we're going to have more of the Live BP Baseball Show. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back on the Live BP Baseball Show with Brad Bowen and Steve on WEEI.
In many ways, the accomplishments of homegrown players are the most special to organizations. You know, and Andrew's a great example of that. For Andrew, everything he did here and to win a world championship here and leave a champion, you know, there's a lot to be proud of and a lot for us to be thankful for what he did here, what he still means to the organization. You know, I know that's tough. I know it's painful. You know, we're obviously doing, you know, what we think is right for the organization, but that's worth acknowledging, and those memories aren't going anywhere. That banner's not going anywhere. What Benny did here is always going to be part of his legacy here and part of the organization's story, and you know, he's always going to be part of the Red Sox family. So thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy. Andy Benintendi. That was Chaim Bloom on the Zoom call. That was not in studio, as you can probably tell.
Yeah.
It seems like Chaim's Zoom calls are getting less and less recognizable.
I know. The quality of some of these calls are terrible. You would think that people would have some mics by now. It's been a year of this that we're doing this Zoom stuff.
The best one he did from his office, I forget which one it was, but he had the t-shirt that said, it was a t-shirt that said spin rate.
Yeah.
But you could only see spin. So the entire time he's talking, says spin. Well, thank you.
Well, I got on his case. We had him on the podcast, and I'm like, you got it. Your background stinks. Like, he's just got some like light. It's just the normal room he's in. And it's like, Chaim, You're the chief baseball officer. You got to have a cool background.
You got to have a disco ball. You got to have a lava lamp in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Go. You don't have to have those, but you need to have something that actually looks cool.
That's Steve Peralt. I'm Rob Bradford. First of all, congratulations on the top baseball podcast, right?
I know. Yeah, I absolutely. That. Section 10's killing 10. It. Well, we're on a heater right now. You know, you got Pedroia, you got Haim. I mean, it's hard to top the three in Cora. It's hard to top those three, but we do have another one coming up this week. One thing I wanted to mention, just to give myself some credit
you
here.
You broke the Benintendi story.
I broke the Benny story.
You did.
So how surprised were you of that?
You did in this new world of journalism. You did.
How pathetic is it that I broke the Benny story? Like, here's the deal. I won't say who the source was, but it's someone, and this is what reporters love to say, someone with knowledge of the situation,
okay,
was saying Benny is going to be traded in a three-team deal to the Royals, and I was like, "Are you sure? Are you definitively sure this is happening?" He's like, "I'm very confident this is happening," and so I do kind of regret not just straight up saying Benny's going to the Royals.
Can I give you crap for this?
Yeah,
this,
please. I'm not used to the scoop game.
At least first sign of addiction is denial, right?
Yes.
And you are not addicted, because you are accepting that there is an element of this situation being a little flawed. I am going to give you, because you're my radio partner.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say you broke the story.
Yes.
Okay? But it does drive me nuts when people do that.
I hate it. When
they do, like, hearing, hey, eyeballs.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, I broke the story.
Let me tell you now.
You're either in or you're out.
Rob, I think it's okay to be a hypocrite when you say you're a hypocrite, because I used to hate that so much. Anytime it's like, oh, I'm getting an inkling that such and such might happen, and then you take full credit when you didn't say he was going to a certain team. So my biggest regret is not straight up saying
it's hard. Listen,
I think Benny's going to be dealt to the Royals. I'm not trying to have my first scoop experience
why
be terrible.
You do, why, yeah, why? So
because you I wasn't 100% confident
you
it was going to happen. So instead, I'm going to say
I know I'm kind of want to know who this person.
No, I can't tell you. That defeats the scoop game. You can't say.
I want to lead you down the right path. I want to help you say, well, you should have done it or you shouldn't have done it.
I appreciate it. I'm not in the scoop game, but I'm glad that I got to experience.
You got
it.
To dabble.
I got to dabble in it a little bit. So instead, I just say, I wonder what's going to happen.
I think you played it right because like you were self-deprecating. You didn't say like, hey, give me MLB trade rumors, what the heck, what's going on, give me credit. And
that's the one downside to how I tweeted about it, because it Jeff Passan would have hated if he had to credit me with the story. There's not a doubt in my mind. So I do kind of hate that I didn't just straight up say, because then I would have been like, hey, guys, come on. You know, I said it. But the people that follow our show, the people that follow this show, that follow the podcast, that follow EEI, that follow everything, understand who broke it, and that's all I need to know.
That's right.
And as I can sleep easy knowing that
Here's what you say. We don't even have to say broke it. You were the first to surface it.
Exactly.
Surface it, I think, is a legitimate way to say it.
Yeah.
And that deserves as much credit as anything.
Exactly. I think I deserve so much credit is what I'm saying. So I don't know where you're at.
I don't know how you can walk down the street today. So I promised before the break that I was going to tell you about something about Andrew Benintendi's marketing skills.
Yes.
Which I don't think a lot of people know about. And maybe you know this. Did you know that Andrew Benintendi had a logo?
I didn't, but I need to see that now.
So Andrew some Benintendi, AB thing? Yes, yes.
I am really good with initials.
Oddly enough, I saw it. It was a couple of years ago when he was good, and
we should be saying this when Dayton was on. It was way back when he was good, three years ago.
And he was passing around the AB, this AB logo thing. And I said, hey, can I write about your logo? And he respectfully said, I would rather not. So, you know, it is what it is. But he does have a logo. It was the first logo I remember a player that young having since Yoan Moncada. Who could forget the Yoan Moncada logo?
I mean, was it just selfies? Remember how many selfies he used to take?
I mean, oh my goodness. But my Yoan Moncada experience was wild.
Very bizarre.
It was so.
How many games he ended up playing here? Just a handful, right? He barely played.
Yeah, well, they called him up to basically take Travis Shaw's job, which I don't think Travis Shaw is still.
And he struck out. I mean, Moncada struck out at everything.
Moncada struck out. I think he set a major league record for most consecutive strikeouts at the end of the year. I think 10 straight strikeouts or something. But here's a quick Yoan Moncada story. I mean, this guy, he wasn't in the major league certainly when this happened, but he was a car guy. Remember the car guy, the Pablo Sandoval car guy, the Ruzne Castillo car guy. It was the same car guy. And so that was a big deal. Like, the cars were a big deal. It was good for business to write about the cars. So this guy says, hey, Yoan Moncada just got two cars, and we're dropping them off down at the Crown Plaza in Fort Myers, if you want to come down and take video of it. All right, so we'll go down. There you go. Yoan Moncada with his girlfriend slash fiance, who I don't think was a fiance for much longer. But anyway, she was there as well. And so the cars are being unloaded, and they're $500,000 worth of cars for this, whatever, 19-year-old. And so they're incredible cars with the Yoan Moncada logo right on the front of the cars, right? So I'm doing the story. So I'm all of a sudden he wouldn't talk. He clammed up. And what I found out was that his fiance had seen a tweet saying, hey, look, he's trying to keep up with Jonas Cespedes, because Jonas Cespedes,
oh, he's got the best cars in the bigs.
Right. And so for some reason, his then fiance shuts him down saying, hey, you can't talk to him anymore about the cars. I mean, all of this is going on. Like, what is happening? This guy is 19 years old, 500,000. This is not what I went to journalism school for. Anyway, that was my Andrew Benintendi, Yoan Moncada story.
If you're going to have, I need to see this Benny logo now, or this Andy logo, sorry.
Well, you can probably, I don't know if it's out there, like, but you can probably, he probably had a hat at some point where he's wearing it. It's just, it's nothing fancy.
Let's be honest, Andrew Benintendi does not seem like the type of guy that has his own logo.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like, you've probably, if you're an average Red Sox fan, you've probably heard him talk only a handful of times. And when you do, you don't remember any of it because it's not very memorable. I don't understand how Benny could have a logo. I honestly think most players should. Tom Brady, it makes sense. TB12
but
makes sense.
That's a business, not a logo.
No, but I'm just saying he has the logo on that. Like, he has the TB12
By the way,
logo.
That was my scoop.
That was your scoop?
No, the TB12.com. TB12.com, some guy in Houston who owns it, was being harassed by the TB12 people for domain name. That was my day after Super Bowl scoop. Anyway, it's not baseball related, so we're not talking about it.
No, it makes sense. But I'm going to say another thing not baseball related. Nick Nurse, head coach of the Raptors, who likes to whine a lot.
He has a logo?
He has a logo. He has like the double lowercase N's, and it's like...
What?
Yeah, it's insane. No head coach should have a logo. That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, let's be honest. No one should have a logo.
No one should, but I'm just saying if you're gonna, you need to be like a Brady, or, you know, you need to be like LeBron has his own logo. He's had multiple logos. You have to be top of the line.
The more I think about it, the more bizarre it is that Andrew Benintendi had a logo.
Also, how do those meetings go? You're like, all right, we are going to have a logo about me. I am going to have my own
logo.
All
it takes is one buddy.
You got to love yourself a little bit.
No, all that you know as well as I do. All it takes is one of your buddies, one of these buddies who went to like junior college for marketing,
yeah,
you know, and said, hey, you know, I got a great idea. It's popping. You know, it's like, this is what you're going to do.
What year did Benintendi have the logo?
It was a couple of years ago. It was definitely 2018.
Okay.
Definitely.
He's trying to capitalize on the best team in Red Sox history. Not a terrible time to roll out a logo. That team was buzzing, obviously.
But it was before 2019. He had the logo, and there were some players, some teammates walking. I will try to effort for the next show the Andrew Benintendi logo for you.
Yeah, we will try to get this out on the Live BP Twitter and Instagram, at Live BP Show, by the way, if you're going to follow
it's
on
red
Twitter.
Hot.
We're doing a big giveaway. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, Dustin Pedroia.
We're giving them all away.
Card. We're giving them all away. It's a jersey card. We're also just going to, we're just going to give them away. But, yeah, I would love to see that logo. And do you have any final thoughts on Benny? I feel like we got through
most
of them.
I went to the Mike in Connecticut.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, Mike? Let's bring Mike
on. Hey, Mike, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
I just wanted to know when the Red Sox became a small market team.
That's a good question. That's a good question, Mike. Although, it's hard to say that, and I understand where you're coming from, Mike. You know what their payroll is right now?
It's what, third, fourth highest?
$190?
$207 million.
Yeah. Small market, $200-plus million.
With all backups, I mean, I think this guy still thinks he's in Tampa Bay.
You know, but here's the thing, Mike. The judgment on whether how Haim Bloom is approaching this team is going to be after next year, after 2022, when you get free and clear of those contracts and you don't have these positions locked up, you don't have these contracts locked up and say, okay, we're going to go after the Trevor Bowers, the George Springers, the JT Real Mudos of whatever free agent class that is. That's what I want to see.
Well, here's the only thing I want to say. I like Benintendi, but, you know, he was terrible last year, and he really hasn't played that good. But if you're going to part ways with him, you can't bring Jackie Bradley back either. I mean, do you agree with that, or
yeah,
you think
I don't,
Bradley's
I,
coming
I,
back?
I don't think that's happened. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, I can't see
that. Especially
happening.
After Marwin Gonzalez, where.
Yeah.
What is Jackie going to want? Clearly wants more than he's going to get.
Or as Chris Curtis called him earlier in the day, he called him Marvin Hernandez. This is our lot in life at the station right
Marvin
now.
Marvin Hernandez
baseball.
Sounds like a great wide receiver.
We're talking Marvin Hernandez, and I think that in the very well meaning Ken Laird trying to promote the show said that we had Drayton Moore coming up.
My goodness. Yeah. I'm telling you, baseball is coming back.
We're bringing it back.
It is one wrong name at a time. It is coming back. Let me tell you right now.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get back to your call. 617-779-7937. Big guest talk coming up at the top of the hour. Steve Peralt. He doesn't even want to say the name.
No. I'm just going to say that if you listen to this interview and you don't like it, that's on you. It's your fault because it's going to be great. It's going to be the best interview you hear today that's not Dayton Moore.
Okay, excellent. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
Time now for the live BP baseball show.
Ball point, boom, net, ball net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
That guy, by the way, highlight of my week.
That was... When you ever sent the new intro over and I heard that the ball on the pillows guy, when I heard he was part of it, very excited.
He has to be. And I almost wanted to have him on the show, but we got to find the right sort of niche.
Yeah.
Niche?
Well, I never know how to say that word. Where is that guy coming from?
Germany.
Okay, Germany.
Or at least he's pretending to be in Germany.
I don't think it was a bit, by the way. I'm pretty sure that was like real. I'm pretty sure he wasn't trying to like...
Well, he's on others. You can, and I'll find his Twitter handle before. We should give him credit if he's going to be in our open.
He was very. I wouldn't mind playing more of that specific clip. Very funny. That was the funniest thing I saw all week, maybe all year.
Okay,
hilarious.
Funnier than Andrew Benintendi getting traded.
That was hilarious, right?
if you want a couple of yucks, then go later after the show. Go to WEI.com. Listen to the interview we did early in the show. Dayton Moore, Kansas City Royals general manager, broke down not only what his thinking was in acquiring Andrew Benintendi, was very insightful, but also for Red Sox fans, what's probably more important now is how he viewed Franchi Cordero. And saying, you know, asked him what is the one thing that he needs to do to be an everyday player. And he said, stay healthy, which is, I guess, that's a good thing.
The second he said that, I'm like, easy enough.
All right, there we go.
Just don't get hurt.
Get on the trolley.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Stay in shape and don't get hurt. Please.
All right, Kevin in Boston. Hey, Kevin, how are you today?
I'm well, Rob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Listen, I have no problem with what Heim Bloom is doing with this team. And as much as I, you know, miss the killer bees from the outfield, it's shocking that, you know, 3 years after winning the World Series, our entire outfield is gone. But I think what he's doing is smart. He's bringing in players that can contribute right away. And he's developing the farm system. And that's, you know, something that Dombrowski never did. He just stripped the farm system. And you have to have an eye on both, and that's what this guy's doing, and I think is evaluative skills
Kevin,
what the team needs.
Kevin, hear me out. I'm going to let you respond. Hear me out. So I think one of the things, and this was a big Drellick thing, which is like, he's not getting back any minor leaguers in these trades. Well, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But, Kevin, this is my problem with that Dombrowski narrative, is that, like, he's saying strip the farm system. You have to tell me, Kevin, who are the minor leaguers that he traded who are not named Yoan Moncada or Michael Kopech that you say, oh my goodness, they would be so much better with those guys?
Well, there's the kid Mago is playing.
Oh,
in the,
he's
whatever. He's whatever.
He's already been traded.
He's a solid everyday player.
He's an under 700 OPS guy. Like, where would he have played? Like, if you said Manuel Margot was on the Red Sox, he's a nice complimentary player, but he's not. And I applaud you for finding a name, but that's not good enough.
Well, I'm just saying that Dombrowski could have brought in a couple other guys, and I think that's the key, is that Bloom at least has an eye on both aspects of the trade.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Kevin. It's a good point because that's one thing that Dombrowski didn't do. He's never going to get minor leaguers back.
And no, he is going to send them to you, and he's going to get proven talent back. That's
so,
what he does.
Yeah, and so when you look at, and we have no idea if the Jason Rosarios and the Hudson Potts and these guys that they got back last year are going to do anything. The Connor Seabolds, the Josh Winkowskis. We have no idea.
Even Pivetta. Even Pivetta's a risk.
Right, exactly. Like, it's, listen, I mean, that trade, he wins.
Oh,
he,
absolutely.
I mean, he could.
I think he already won. He already won that trade.
Nick Pivetta pitching 10 innings and giving up two runs last year, you won the trade.
You won the trade, yeah. That, I mean, I can't believe how little the Phillies got out of Embry and Workman. And, yeah, Haim wants sustainable success. That's the biggest thing that he keeps saying. He told us in the podcast. He says it in these interviews. He wants to have guys that he has control over, that's younger talent. And the easy thing to say is he just wants to build the farm system back up. But to your point, who's the big star that the Red Sox traded away
that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's a
Moncada's good. Moncada's good.
But that doesn't even count. Moncada and Kopech, you had to do that to get Chris Sale. Those are certain guys going to be. But it's a lazy narrative that I think very smart people are also propagating. I mean, I hear this.
It's easy. It's easy.
It's now that he's out of town.
Yeah.
Including, by the way, the ownership group.
Oh, it didn't take that long. The stuff that we would hear from the ownership group or that was leaking from the ownership group was like, oh, we didn't agree with, the things that. You were writing the checks. What are you talking about? You didn't agree with the Sale deal, the Eovaldi deal. What are you talking about?
Can we go back? So I've mentioned this interview too many times, but I don't care because I do think it's an important interview. The interview I did with John Henry in London, where he says this was in June 30th, 2019. They're getting off to a bad start in 2019 after winning the World Series. And he says flat out, I said, what would you have done differently? And he said, maybe we hung on to too many guys. We didn't make enough changes. And like that was to me, that was his first, I'm throwing Dave Dombrowski under the bus.
How early was that in that season?
That was June 30th, midway through the season.
Okay.
But here's the thing. And this is when we can say, oh my goodness, you're so right. But you're right, Steve. Like you go back, there's two logical explanations for what he's talking about. Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi, fine. They fell in love with him. They said, he's going to be even better. We're going to overpay for him. Dombrowski, hey, we'll take your word for it. But the Chris Sale deal, where you signed the guy way before you needed to, after having a year where you had a physical ailment, and you can't just say that this was a Dombrowski thing. You know how I know? Because in spring training in February, in the sit-down, they get up there and say, finally, we screwed up John Lester and we're not going to screw up Chris Sale.
Exactly. And when you do that, especially before the season starts and you can use the record and all that and further injuries to your defense, that when you hear from ownership group in spring training, that's when it's boom. This is my take and you need to stand by that. Because if you come off of that when the season starts, it's like, all right, now you're just going back and forth and you're doing whatever sounds best for you and you're throwing the GM under the bus. So the Sale deal, I mean, they're competing against nobody.
Well, it looks even worse because, first of all, you're absolutely right. Once they say that in February, I know it wasn't announced till right before opening day. It was done. It was done in February. They were going to make it happen. But then another thing that Sale coincidentally said also told me in London, boy, I'm trying to justify this trip to London quite a bit. That
must have been fun.
It was the best. but Sale said, I had no intention of free agency because I'm like, oh, you ever think about if you didn't sign a deal? I had no intention of going to free agency. So if he's saying that, then they didn't read the room right.
Yeah. He's just saying that.
No. I believe he's saying it because he meant it, and that was his approach. You didn't read the room right. And also, by the way, you're coming off a 2018 where you have a physical ailment and you haven't seen the guy pitch at all.
Yeah. I think we fell in love with what happened in the World Series. Sale's the guy that makes the last out. Eovaldi.
No, they fell in love with what happened in the World Series.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're going to be ownership and you're going to approve of these deals, you can't then further down the line be like, oh, man, I'm stunned that we signed him to four-year deals. You're the guy that's writing the check. Come on now.
And now I do believe there is a genuine, like, I think you give them a lot of credit for the Dombrowski. Hiring Dombrowski, that's what they needed. We didn't need this confluence of who made the Lester conversation happen. Was it Lucchino? Was it Henry? Was it Werner? Was it Sherrington? Like, well, no, you needed the one guy. And they got that with Dombrowski. That was the right move. And they let him do his thing. And it sounds like they're letting Chaim Bloom do his thing. Like, it doesn't, like, because.
For now.
I mean, now it's uncomfortable when you're throwing, college ticket prices out in the middle of press conferences because you're a little worried about Mookie Betts trades. But for now, you're right, for now. But it seems like they're letting him do his thing.
They're letting him do his thing, but, as the season goes on, as we're doing live BP, as we're doing these shows in season, I think that, again, it's easy to say stuff in spring training. It's a lot harder to stick by your guns that you were saying in spring training as the year is going along.
Well, you know, and when what you're talking about is ticket sales.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, ticket sales and ratings.
Opening day capacity. My goodness, what is it going to be? 20%?
Greg Hill's reporting 20%. Hill's reporting through other people. That's 20%.
Put me in the last row of the bleachers. I don't care.
Oh, really? I didn't even want to go. I went last year.
Well, yeah, you're like a writer reporter guy.
I'm jaded.
You're different. You're press pass guy. All right. I've only had a sniff.
You know
of
what
that.
Was great about it though? You know what was great about the pandemic?
What's that?
Save that one. Is that I could pull up at 7:29, park right in front of Fenway Park, and just walk in.
Yes. Yeah.
And then walk out in the fifth inning when the game was over and go to the Zoom call on my couch.
That game was over normally in the second inning. Yeah, but it's nice of you to say the fifth.
Matt Hall's back, though. Yeah. So there you go.
Hall pass.
617-779-7937. Very special guest coming up after this break. Steve Perrault is going to take the wheel on this baby.
Very excited for
this. Take the wheel on this baby.
Very excited.
You're going to want to stick around for this. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Steve Perrault. This is Live BP. Be back right after this.